From the studios of 2RPH, welcome to another edition of RPH's new program, AbleQuest, where we examine assistive technologies and related subjects for people living with disabilities. I'm Peter Worthington, and this is AbleQuest. Last segment, we investigated the complex world of stem cell technology, what it is, the history of research, different methods of harvesting stem cells, and we held a Q&A with Dr. Karen Doyle, a senior research officer in the Neural Stem Cell Group at the Garvan Institute in Sydney. Today, we take a closer look at some of the fascinating and life-changing applications of this amazing technology, which may give fresh hope to many. In the USA in 2011, stem cells were used to treat two women suffering from severe low vision. Neither patient could read any letters on a chart. After treatment, one patient was able to read 7 letters on the chart, and the other was able to read 5 letters. According to Martin Pera, Professor of Stem Cell Science at the University of Melbourne, it provides hope for patients suffering from dry macular degeneration, a very common cause of blindness, particularly in older people. In an interview with Samantha Donovan on the ABC's PM program in January this year, he said, "Macular degeneration is a very interesting indication for therapy. We don't have to make that many cells to treat these patients. Only 50,000 were used in these studies, which we could grow in a small dish in the laboratory. And we can make the type of cell that we need in a pure form and in a form that is functional and is ready to go and do its job in the tissue. And it's also advantageous approaching this particular condition, because we can image the eye very well and trace the fate of the graft. So we'll know when things are going right and if anything is going wrong." Considerable progress is being made in the use of stem cell technology to treat neurological conditions. Healthy adult brains contain neural stem cells which divide and assist to keep the stem cell numbers constant. By regenerating new tissue, it has been found that some brain recovery was accompanied by recovery of lost limb function. This will lead to a new class of stroke therapy or brain injury therapy in humans. A new technique that converts stem cells into brain cells has been developed by researchers at the Lund University. The method is simpler, quicker, and safer than previous research has shown, and opens the door to a shorter route to clinical cell transplants. As reported in Science Daily Online on 24 May this year, the process mimics the brain's natural development by releasing signals that are part of the normal development process. Experiments in animal models have shown that the cells quickly adapt in the brain and behave like normal brain cells. One groundbreaking development has happened here in Australia through collaborative research undertaken at the Centre for Stem Cell Research in Adelaide. The focus of the centre is on turning novel basic research into potential life-saving treatments and cures for serious conditions and diseases. A key area of discovery at the centre, using adult stem cells from teeth, has enormous implications for patients with disabilities caused by strokes. It could also prove effective in the treatment of other neurological conditions, such as Parkinson's and Huntington's diseases. This exciting work is being undertaken by researchers at the Adelaide University and Queen Elizabeth Hospital, two of the main entities comprising the centre. Leading the project is clinical neurologist, neuroscientist and associate professor at the Adelaide University, Simon Cobbler. Nikki Lenderman spoke with Professor Cobbler.
We're here today with Professor Simon Cobbler, who has asked to be addressed as Simon. So Simon, welcome to AbleQuest and welcome to 2RPH.
Thank you, Nikki.
A few questions for you in relation to your wonderful stem cell research. You undertake an impressive list of endeavours in the field of neurology and strokes, but today we're particularly interested in your groundbreaking research into stem cell use in treating stroke patients. To provide some context to the importance of your work, what's the overall impact of strokes in Australia?
Sure. People don't often realise, but stroke is probably the second leading cause of death in Australia after cancer. It is actually the leading cause of disability, so it's a major health issue. Each year, about 60,000 Australians suffer a stroke, and in Australia, more than 250,000 people still are alive after a stroke and living with significant disability. So it's a massive problem, and probably one that is only going to increase over time because of people living longer, and also perhaps because they're not looking after themselves quite as much. We tend to be a more obese population, so those numbers are likely to skyrocket. So during the 5 or 10 minutes we'll be speaking, one person in Australia will have a stroke.
That is shocking statistics, and of course you are very well to refer to the epidemic of obesity that we're all suffering from.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. The use of stem cells as a subject's broad, of course.
Yes.
Exactly how are you using stem cells for repair of stroke-damaged brains?
Sure. So right now in 2012, there's only 4 ways that we can actually make a major impact on stroke. One is using aspirin to prevent stroke. One is admitting people to a stroke unit if they have a stroke. The other is to give a wonderful treatment if the person is eligible, a clotbuster treatment, where we give an intravenous injection if the person comes into hospital within 4.5 hours of the onset of their stroke. And the fourth one is where we actually do an operation to relieve pressure on the brain when people have an increase in brain pressure after a stroke. So there's actually not a lot of treatments that help people after they've actually had a stroke and disability. And so we have rehabilitation, as people will know, with physiotherapists and speech therapists. And we really think that the ability of the brain to actually repair itself is maybe greater than what we'd ever realized.
Mm.
And stem cell therapy is quite a unique idea of actually using stem cells, so cells that are alive, to give them to the patient at some stage after their stroke. At this stage, we don't know when the best time is, and that, we think, is actually going to help the brain's intrinsic ability to try and repair, so that if the person were to have rehabilitation as well as this treatment, then they maybe would be able to achieve much better function after having had a stroke than what is achievable today.
So that it's not a magic bullet.
Well, in some ways, because the results we're seeing in animal studies is where we're seeing anywhere up to 30 to 50% improvement in function in animal studies where we've produced a stroke in an animal.
You would have before this, you would have expected a much lesser response.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Yes. And so, you know, I'm a neurologist, and when I see a patient that has a stroke, and once you reach a plateau, say after several months, then you often don't see a great deal of improvement after that. And studies of my own, as well as those around the world, suggest that, particularly obviously in animals at this stage, but that perhaps stem cells gives us an ability to reignite the ability of the brain to try and repair itself, which we weren't able to tap into before.
So why dental pulp stem cells?
I know, it's an unlikely sight.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It's kind of weird.
It's interesting. Many times with research, it's serendipity. So probably about 10 years ago, Stan Gronthos, who's a researcher from Adelaide, who actually discovered stem cells were in adult human teeth. So these were young adults that had impacted molar teeth, wisdom teeth that are impacted, and would have them removed because they were painful. He was over in America working with a dentist at the time, and they discovered that when you break teeth in half, there's an area of inside called dental pulp. They were able to demonstrate that there are actually stem cells residing in that dental pulp. And then when he came back from overseas to Adelaide, one of our researchers did a PhD, some research with us together, Agnes Arthur, and we were able to demonstrate that these stem cells in the tooth, because of their origin originally when the whole mouth and teeth are forming, they actually have a greater ability to form brain cells than almost any other stem cell, apart from actually getting a stem cell from the brain itself. And so we then reason that if they have this ability to make neurons or brain cells and actually communicate with a nervous system, which we worked on and published some years ago, then perhaps they had an intrinsic ability to help repair the brain after damage. And because of my interest in stroke, we decided to look at a rat model of stroke and use these stem cells to see whether there would be any change to the outcome of these animals.
Fantastic. I mean, just a question without notice, could there possibly be other applications, like perhaps for Alzheimer's, or is that a different kind of, that's a different kind of damage, I understand.
But yeah, Alzheimer's is quite a different disease because it's almost, you know, almost the whole brain is involved.
Mm.
But certainly other conditions such as Parkinson's disease,
mm-hmm.
there's actually already been some studies where some groups overseas have made brain cells that actually produce a chemical called dopamine, which is deficient in Parkinson's disease. Don't think they've actually used it directly. I think there's been one small study, but there was a study earlier this year by a Japanese group that actually used these adult human stem cells from the tooth, dental pulp stem cells, and they used it in an animal model of spinal cord injury. And they were actually able to demonstrate a superior improvement in recovery of the rats.
I think I saw something about that.
Yeah, in fact, using stem cells from the bone marrow.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very exciting to see that. And so, yes, it's possible that these adult human stem cells are maybe applicable to a range of neurological diseases, but we're still looking at those aspects.
Long way to go yet. Yes, I understand. Yeah. And what about clinical trials with humans? When do you anticipate that beginning? Was that, I mean, is
I
that
know, a... the question that all of my patients, and every time I speak, I think I get about 20 or 30 emails asking me. The really important thing, and this really alludes to the aspect of stem cell tourism, and that is many of my patients that I have now, a lot of them have been overseas and received stem cells from disreputable institutions, let us say.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea of when we go from an animal into a human is that we need to know that it's safe, that what we're going with the treatment we're going to give, yes, that we hope that it might be of benefit, but above all of that, that it's also safe. And we're just starting on some of the safety studies to look at the using these dental pulp stem cells in animals as safe. And we're probably still several years before we have other animal studies, because we've only used these in rats. We need to use perhaps a larger animal whose brain is a bit more complex than a rat to actually see that the stem cells don't do anything untoward, so that they don't produce tumours, and maybe that they don't, you know, rewire the brain to cause epilepsy, for example. But these studies, you know, if we see that it remains safe and beneficial, then they will occur, and it's very important. And I tell many of my patients, you know, to stave off going outside of Australia and elsewhere for, you know, unproven stem cell treatment, because if patients go elsewhere and receive stem cells, then they'll probably preclude themselves from entering into studies that will occur in the near future.
Right. Oh, that's a good warning. Thank you for that.
We will continue the interview with Professor Simon Cobler in the next segment of AbleQuest. He talks about who will benefit from the work being done by the Centre for Stem Cell Research and what improvements in their functionality they're likely to see. You have just been listening to AbleQuest, the program that looks at developments in assistive technology. I'm Peter Worthington. Thank you for listening, and goodbye till next time.